Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and rest in peace, Skype. You were certainly one of the applications of all time. And with me, I have...
Don't fall in line. Fuck.
And...
Is the heck one of our servers? It's okay. It says my name, Popcorn Wizard. Wait. Oh no.
Oh goddamn it! Not again. I thought we fixed this problem the last time.
One of these days, I'll understand all these references.
And
but not
said,
today.
And they said we're scaring the hoes.
Oh goddamn it! Did they find my new song called Chainsaw Man Type Beat that's exclusively made out of samples from the Amazing Digital Circus?
Probably.
Bomni, I just turned into Chainsaw Man! Don't let Kane near the chainsaws. Chainsaw Man. I'm gonna get slapped for that joke, but wouldn't be the first time. Or even the 47th.
Wait. Raising King's Saul.
But this isn't a fast food fried chicken podcast yet.
Only on Tuesdays.
Wow, there's a phrase I haven't thought about in forever. God. Man, I guess since we're bringing up Skype anyways, might as well dig up other adult stuff. Anyway, here we are, episode 392. How's everyone's mental state holding up?
By a thread. By a very, very thin thread, considering all of the continued slamming toys on table things that keep happening, with people going, oh yes, that's a great idea, you should definitely do that, without realizing the guy is fucking out of his mind! It's either dementia, or just a stroke, or something like, oh god. The sooner Plan B happens, the better. That's all I'm gonna say. And yeah, my week around here has been a week as per usual. It was a fun week around the city. We had Kendrick Lamar perform at the football stadium, which was a lot of fun, even though it was raining all night. But so yeah, fantastic show. I wish I could have gone, but tickets were way too pricey. And also, you know, the rain, which, that's never fun. I have a good thing to share to everyone here. So I like to look for deals on, well, everything. Mm-hmm. And I see Balatro on Switch on Amazon for $10. I figured, okay, I'll buy it. Why not? It's only $10. I get it. And then the next day, I get it again. I don't know how I ended up with two copies of it, but hey, I'm not gonna judge. I'm not gonna say no. I'm not gonna return one. Hey, that's your fault, not mine. Sounds, you send me two copies of a game, I will take it.
Sounds like you got that times two multiplier in real life. Ha ha.
It was more like a blueprint.
Ah, yeah, that too.
Is that, yeah, it is.
Is that very, the one in the... Because I know the Switch version has, like, prints of, like, some of the actual Joker cards. Is that in there?
Yeah. Switch and PlayStation physical copies have them, which is very nice.
Yeah, because I got the... I forget if I mentioned this, but I have, like, the actual official playing card deck, and I know the Blueprint, the Standard, and the Gross Michelle are in here, too.
Yeah, these have different cards out of it. So. And now I have two copies laying around. I don't know what I'm going to do with the other one, but holy shit, two cakes!
I mean, if you need someone to take it off your hands. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. My week has been not that depressing at all, or not as depressing as usual weeks. It turns out, what about the car problem? What was the problem? I just need a new bright light. That was it.
Yay!
Which cost me nothing but 10 bucks to fix it, which also yay. So yeah. That's all good. And I also got me a new phone, which I needed because my old one, I think it was. I won't say dying, but it's close to being kind of useless. And thankfully, this only cost me like $40.
Which is like, good.
I didn't have to break the bank for that. Good thing too. And I would say it works better. I switched everything from my old phone to the new phone, and finally I can have speakerphone again, which is nice because I'm like, put on speakerphone. I can't hear you. The old phone had the problem of like speakerphone not working, or I have to say you're not speaking loud enough. It was one of those problems. But frankly, that's all over now because now it's all good. I'm just relieved.
Are we all? As for me, not really much of anything. Just kind of, just the usual day in, day out business. Although, I am sitting here right now, greatly debating with myself. Am I really gonna spend like $80 for a Blu-ray of an anime I really like? Cause it took you fucking long enough, Crunchyroll.
If you don't want to spend $85 on the Crunchyroll store, you can get a steelbook from Walmart for $50.
Yeah, that steelbook looks nice. But also, Blu-ray limited edition looks nice. I know who I am as a person, so I have to fight the temptation. Maybe.
We will have words on my show.
Because we're coming back.
Woohoo! Good to hear. And the fact that you took 3 years to decide, we're just going to pawn it off to Viz Media, when you could have done that a hell of a lot fucking sooner!
I don't get y'all. Y'all the same motherfuckers. Let's pawn this shit. Then season later is like, we'll do it ourselves. Or the movie is like, or I guess they're pulling a Megalobox. I don't know.
This is a company that is not run by smart individuals.
I don't know. Maybe they were too busy shuffling through voice actors' mail again.
This is why
I'm hard on them on this shit more than Hulu. At least they're trying.
Anyway, we better stop now, or else we're just gonna get stuck on this tangent. So
yeah,
that's pretty much all I have to say. So now we're gonna move on to the usual weekly business, starting of course with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, all of that jazz. So let's start off with a name we haven't heard in a while, Bad Bad Not Good. I believe the last time we talked about them was about a few years ago. Like, Talk Memory was a 2021 release, and I don't think they've done much of it. Wait, what do you mean they had a triple album out last year?
Yeah, they did. They had a set of EPs that I talked about last year that honestly, I kind of forgot.
Jesus, I never got around to that.
Yeah. But what we got here is we got a little Lucy and a teammate with a singer who goes by the name VCR. It's their initials. Veronica Camille Ratliff. Yes, VCR.
I get it.
Yeah. And the thing was called kind of like parentheses Bell Street. And okay, because with this 7 minute song, I gotta say that, it's groovy, it's lush, the vibes are hitting with this shit, and yes, it is simply gorgeous to listen to. It's like instrumentation, the vocals from BCR was pretty good, the video was just oozing vibes all around. Yeah, I can say that was definitely bumming my head at this. Like, okay, this is really damn good. All between the fact that bad, not good is one of the few white people that we say, okay, you can fuck with us, all right? You can sit with Alchemist, Ludwig Göransson, was on their LP. Yeah, you can join him too. Yeah, you can sit with them. They're the white people that, you know, that got our backs and make good shit with us.
This is indeed a very excellent sounding song. Might have to dig into some VCR soon, because those vocal arrangements are immaculate. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, this is just me throwing something new into the usual roster, just because I can. So, we are talking about a band called MS Paint. A post-punk group who have a very heavy amount of synthetic electronic elements, hence the name. They debuted in 2023 with the album Post American, which is one of those albums I saw going around on a lot of the year-end best-of lists. Gave it a listen out of curiosity. I'm like, this is very good stuff. So anyway, it looks like they're set to drop a new EP this year, actually later this month, May 23rd, called No Separation. And so we have the single from the album titled Angel. Now, the band's sound obviously, like, varies back and forth between, like, more aggressive, intense, like, punk stuff and, you know, the more melodious side of things. This track in particular is, of course, on the melodious side of the spectrum. It's a very sort of, like, melancholic sort of song about trying to assure yourself that things are going to be fine in times of extreme stress and duress. And it's got this very, like, steady tempo, complemented by this very, like, fuzzed out bass groove, and relying a lot on the melodic guitars and the synths and everything to craft this really great through line through all the verses. Hell, even halfway through, there's kind of, like, this really cool stutter effect, like, in the middle of the bridge, and while we talk a lot about, like, genre fusion here and there, sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. This is where I think it works well. Like, you definitely get the kind of emotional intensity you want out of a punk song, you know, aggressive, melodic, or otherwise. And all of these synthetic insinuations are, they're very tuneful. They definitely do a lot to help add to the song, rather than feeling like something just artificially grafted onto it.
Well, I like the beat and synth more than the vocal delivery, so take that however you will.
Eh, fair enough. That's probably make or break kind of thing for most people. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, the week afterwards, of course at the end of the month, we're getting the newest album from Aesop Rock titled Black Hole Superette. We have the second single from the album here titled Send Help. And the good news is, I can at least confirm, this album doesn't invent a horrifying hybrid of college-level academic subjects for me to have to enroll in. I still haven't recovered from algebra calculus. I'm a math guy, and I still haven't recovered from that.
Yeah. I can say, like, okay, he says a lot of shit that probably go over my head, as always, because he's like, the stoicism only misdirect for the metrics, it doesn't represent the actual pressure due to plexus, but that may be out terrible with names because of special or memorizing the X's during the same seconds of the whole bunch of shit like PB Judge, NPMD, the Mason Crest skin, his bag is a braided bread in over 30 days. That price is saying it was a perfect bait. It's purple pearls when you're looking at just for the facts of that. Yeah, he says a lot of shit that go over my head.
At the very least, I understood a few things, like, I'm friend or foe depending on the content in your keynote, and not above the lobbing of a rotten tomatillo. What is a tomatillo, anyway?
I want to say green tomatoes or green tomatoes.
Yeah. The tomato, also known as the Mexican husk tomato, tomatillo, also known as the Mexican husk tomato, is a plant of the nightshade family bearing small, spherical, and green or green-purple fruit. Tomatillos originated in Mexico and were cultivated in the pre-Columbian era, says Wikipedia. It's basically green salsa.
Yeah.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah, it's basically, it's what you'd expect, it's what you put in, like, salsa verde.
Mm, now I want some salsa verde. Yeah. Also, Aesop, what fucking IHOP are you going to where you can play Dig Dug?
Wait, do they have arcades now?
I mean, it's in the song, fucking some shit about At Large from playing Dig Dug at the IHOP.
Hmm.
I'm just like...
Maybe it's a riff on getting busy in a Burger King bathroom.
Huh. Talk about scaring the hoes indeed. Anyway, moving on to the next couple of tracks here. Oh boy, we have two Turnstile songs this week. So, yeah, as a reminder, the band's newest album, Never Enough, is coming out June 6th. And we got a two-for-one package, at least if you're going by the video, because it's one of those that throws both of them the same fucking thing. So first off, we have a track called Seeing Stars, and, man, I guess this band really is trying to lean in on a fucking indie pop rock shit. Like, okay, yeah, this is a very light, melodic kind of song. There's a bit of a glam rock guitar solo in at one point, but otherwise, the best way I could describe the tone of this is that this seems like exactly the kind of song that would be angling to win what Todd in the Shadows has historically called the Fluke Indie Sweepstakes. Like, I could absolutely see some glitch in the Matrix where this gets some traction on the Billboard charts. Maybe not this year, but, like, 10 years ago, maybe. Like 10, 15, whenever Foster the People was popular, but... Oh, anyway. Yeah, I'm not really feeling this one at all. Just, yeah... Though, I suppose to counteract that, we have the other song here, which is called Birds, and this one is more of, like, the actual, like, aggressive, energetic, fist-pumping hardcore that the band started off as before they started doing whatever all this stuff is. Maybe the kind of thing that, like, if you're an entry-level name in, like, the Warped Tour scene, you might like, but I just didn't like this sound even when they were committed to it. Let alone now when they're trying to, like, do whatever. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not trying to be... I'm really not trying to be smug and dismissive here. I'm trying to understand this man's appeal. I just still don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either. From lucid elevator pop to... punk core, I guess. I still don't get it. Maybe they're trying to win over the Coachella crowd. I don't know. But yeah, this isn't really it.
Elevator pop. That's a way better term than anything I've said.
Elevator pop. That sounds, well, damn,
it's that music you hear once you exit an elevator and you hear something on the PA in like an office building or a hotel, and usually it's a really bad cover of a pop song from 20 years ago. That's that kind of feeling the song gives me.
Ew.
Yeah. Anyway, now to move on to the final song on the list. We haven't talked about Primus in a hot minute, and kind of interesting that we haven't, because there's a lot that's been going on there. Most significantly, the unexpected departure of longtime drummer Tim Herb Alexander. Again, very sudden and unexpected, which thus led the remaining members of the group to engage in this extremely meticulous process of finding a new drummer. Seriously, they were documenting this shit like it was the time Mike Portnoy first left Dream Theater. And ultimately, they decided to settle on a Shreveport, Louisiana native named John Hoffman. So, he's been with them on tour and such, I think. Pretty sure the band is in the middle of touring with, I want to say A Perfect Circle, which would certainly explain what's going on with this track. Because they've dropped a new single, the first recorded material with Hoffman, titled Little Lord Fentanyl. And it has some guest vocals, courtesy of Maynor James Keenan. Now, getting into the song itself, it's not too far removed from, well, more recent Primus territory. Like, it's got that very familiar kind of, triplet, you know, slap bass lick riff thing. With, John's chops showcasing that he fits in pretty well with the Primus style. From kind of offbeat improvisational fills to, how rapidly he can play the hi-hats and toms and all. It's also got a lot of kind of, weirdly proggy synth melodies that, you know, kind of sound a lot like what, you know, the more recent Primus material's been going for. It rides this pretty steady, you know, groove throughout, has a very fittingly psychedelic guitar solo, and Maynard's vocals are more like just kind of, background vocal textures, more so than anything super prominent. It's alright. Like, it's one of the Primus songs of all time. You know what you're getting into. I'm a little bit curious of what a full album sounds like with a new drummer in tow, but that's probably not going to be for a while.
Well, it's Primus, so it's very weird and strange. I couldn't really figure out what Maynard was doing on the track, aside from apparently background vocals. Everything just sort of blended together. I know what Les Claypool can do with his voice. It's very impressive and weird. It's there. It's got the Primus feel. So, you know, it's good. Primus sucks. Move on.
Primus sucks indeed.
And if anybody out there thinks we're being serious, no, that's a running joke.
And how?
Yeah, we should say Primus sucks, parentheses, complimentary.
Anyway, that about does it for the news song discussion. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have the news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we've got a decent amount of news to talk about here, but for this first topic, we're going to throw it over to Alex, as it is his area of expertise beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, indubitably, because we get to talk about one of my favorite things that takes way too long to happen because of reasons. Gigantic box sets of albums that barely anybody likes except me. Because, yes, the ongoing series of Metallica remastered box set things continues on with an overload of Load, their album from 1996, that has aged like a fine wine, if you ask me. But I'm a weirdo, so don't take my advice as gospel, because I'm a weirdo. But, yeah, it was a very interesting time. They all got haircuts. Lars played in boxer shorts for some reason, and they did a lot of bluesy riffs. They tuned down to E-flat. They got kind of weird with everything, a little experimental, very much against the norm of thrash metal, which was par for the course in the mid-90s, because, like, what did you have? You had Euthanasia, which was fine. You had Divine Intervention, which was okay. You had Anthrax's Volume 8, which we don't talk about. Then you had Load, the first of two albums in 96-97 that came out with a divisive reaction. But again, opinion always tends to sway the other way after almost 30 years. Let it be known, I was the one who liked it without reading up on what other people thought of it, because I didn't have internet until 2011, so I couldn't read any what other people thought of it. So there. Anyway, June 13th, the Big Kahuna is going to be released. It's a gigantic box set, but there will also be, you know, a final release, a CD release, an expanded CD release, a cassette release. But for those of you with $275 to spare, you'll get this. The whole damn box set, which includes the album on vinyl and CD, a picture disc single, three live albums on vinyl, which was, yeah, the show Lollapalooza in Irvine. Oh, that was it. That also includes the picture disc and the album. I can't read. Okay, you get one live album on vinyl, their show from Lollapalooza 96 in Irvine, which was a very good show. You also get, in total, 15 CDs. You get the album. Again, you get 5 CDs worth of demos, rough mixes, alternate mixes, and extra takes and cut takes and just about everything you can think of, which is tailor-made for me, but I'll get into why I'm not going to spend that much money on it later. There's also a CD of B-sides and rarities, the whole Motorhead cover thing they did back in 95, alternate edits, remixes, which includes the quote-unquote Herman Melville mix of Until It Sleeps. That's Moby, by the way. It was 96. It was a Sal at the time, because you see, back in 1996, we used to have these things called single CDs, which on them, you could buy them and listen to them at home, or if you're fancy, in your car, and you'd get extra tracks on them, and you could actually hold it in your hands. I know, crazy concept, but yeah, that's what you did. And you also have, let's see, Escape from the Studio 95, the show from Donington in England. That's pretty cool. Club shows, rehearsals, the show from Slim's in San Francisco, which was previously released in one of the fan cans. Yes, I know this. It's also been remixed by Greg Fiddleman, because of course it has been. WMMS Coffee Break Concert from a radio station in Cleveland. Show from Oslo, Norway. Some rehearsal tracks from Birmingham, England, and a tour compilation from 96 to 97, which is very, very neat. And the DVDs, you get 4 DVDs, because if you're going to pay this much money, you may as well get everything, which includes A Week and a Half from Life of Metallica, another fan can only release, getting put on DVD for the first time. That's very cool. The Tuk to Yuk Tuk concert from up in the northern middle of nowhere, bumfuck nowhere, Canada. That's pretty cool. A show from Sweden, and music videos, some stuff from MTV, and some TV appearances from the MTV VMAs, Top of the Pops, later with Jules Holland, the MTV Europe Music Awards, and something called Sfirit. I don't know, I'll speak Italian. And the American Music Awards. That's pretty cool. And you also get MP3 card for all the audio, tour laminates, a poster, a patch, a Rolling Stone magazine cover print, some guitar and bass picks, Rorschach test cards, lyric folder, and sheets, and a 128-page coffee table book of stuff. I probably won't be buying this, not because I don't want to, I would very much like to, but because I don't have the room for it. I don't have a whole lot of room left. The good news is all the audio tracks will be up on like Apple Music and Spotify and whatever else, and the DVDs will inevitably be ripped and put on YouTube by someone else, which the band seems to be kind of okay with. That's pretty cool. And yes, this does mean when we do our June roundup, I will be talking about this album and all the extra stuff in it. And no one can stop me.
The fact that all of this is getting rolled out for load of all albums feels really weird to me.
Not that I'm pro or anti-load in any sort of significant way, just... Load? Really?
Well, they've been asking for people to send in stuff. They sent in stuff. And, you know, they're dedicating themselves to doing the whole every album gets a box set deal. May as well.
Okay, fair enough. All I'm gonna do is just sit here and idle the days away until they finally pull the trigger on a Saint Anger anniversary release. That is going to be fun!
Oh, the stories that could be told about that album. Pre and post rehab.
Anyway, let's move on to the next topic here. So, I think we talked about this a while back, that Charlie XCX is working on, you know, a movie. So, I forget exactly what it was called off the top of my head. Did it have a name?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm looking at the body of the article right now. Apparently, there's 9 film and TV projects she's got in the in the oven right now.
Yeah, one of them was a movie she was doing with A24 called The Moment.
That's the one I was thinking of. But, yeah, it looks like this is a another one that she's got in the fold. It's something that she's producing through Studio 365. The plot details are under wraps. We don't really know much about it other than this particular piece of information that she is producing it alongside the involvement of Takashi Miike.
Oh, that'll be fun.
You know, well, the man who's the reason that most people are scared of Piano Wire. Oh, good lord. But, yeah, so, she's producing it, I think, she's also starring in it, I think? Yeah, starring, producing. This is happening. We don't know when, just that it is a thing that's happening.
She's been doing a lot of stuff. This is knife announced thing, TV film thing she's doing. Like, okay, I guess after the summer, she really exploded. which is good because we've been saying that she should have been, you know, somewhat in the mainstream eye for years now. I mean, she sort of was, but not really. But then now, you see it.
Certainly see it. I'm still gonna recoil in horror if I see a piano anywhere in that movie.
Ugh.
But anyway, that's all for that. But that's not the only bit of silver screen news we have to talk about here, because Mark, what's this link you sent us over here? You dropped something in here about a movie.
Yeah, so apparently this is a movie that is from our sort of favorite biracial rapper, maybe Logic. Yeah, Logic under his Bobby Boy label company, whatever. Like, it's a movie. Called Paradise Records, which, from what I get from the trailer, is basically him running this record store, and of course, you know, he's not paying loans, he needs extension, all that shit, and then it's like, yeah, you don't pay us right now, we're gonna shut you down, and then of course you get to a bunch of like. A bunch of wild shit going on, especially from the things we saw. And of course, we got the very, you know, weird cameos we get. We saw Dietrich Bader have to get some the lone guy. I think I saw Ron Perlman as a police officer. And near the end, we saw fucking Phil Lamar in there.
Yes,
that Phil Lamar. Phil Lamar, I guess. And of course, yes, they do bring up that, you know, logic. He's biracial. I'm half black, even though I look white. And, oh yeah, also.
I'm just wondering one thing. Why are Jay and Silent Bob here?
Yeah, that's the thing I want to point out.
I was going to make a joke about that, because the way Mark describes it, it's almost kind of, I was going to say, this feels kind of like Clerks, but set at a record shop.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why?
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we have that with High Fidelity?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to mention that. That did remind me of that one movie that I heard of, but never really saw. I know there's a TV show remake that lasted one season, but... Well, yeah, it sort of reminds me of that with a record store. But at least that's what I got from it. And yeah, it does have that very, I want to say 90-ish, like 90s type of feel, but not really 90s. But even though, like, well, it might be considering it is at a record store. And, well, have you been to a record store in 2025? Or anywhere in 21st century, well, not no, well, in the 2020s,
maybe sometimes.
Rarely. That's difficult. Dorks, kind of, maybe. Well, yeah,
maybe, but I suppose like. Yeah, those are... I'm actually looking at the a screen cap from the trailer that has, like, the full list. It lists out a bunch of appearances. So, yeah, we have Jason Mewes, Kevin Smith, Dietrich Bader. Some of the other more notable names include Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Ron Perlman, a.k.a. the only good Hellboy.
Yeah.
Oliver Tree, Nolan North.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. He was Nathan Drake in Uncharted, right?
Yeah.
And a bunch of like video game appearances as Deadpool, I think. Anyway, there's also Tony Revolori, who was I think Flash Thompson in the Marvel the MCU Spider-Man movies.
Yeah,
we also got Bobby Lee. That name sounds familiar. Is he like a celebrity?
Matt TV.
I thought it was like a celebrity chef or something. Anyway, so Bobby Lee, Martin Starr, Juicy J, David Krummels, and Kevin Corrigan are some of them. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm actually kind of surprised that, or maybe they're saving this as a surprise if they do it, but I full well expect a Steve Bloom cameo in this.
I kind of did too.
That would be very fitting.
It would make sense.
I mean, he's had him on, like, what, 2-3 of his albums?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, could be amusing. I mean, if it has, like, its own vibe instead of trying to be way too much like, I don't know, Clerks 4.
I do fear they're going to rely on the whole I'm biracial thing as a setup for too many jokes, which might feel a little... there's a way to do it. Just repeating the same joke over and over and over again doesn't really help. I'm hoping that's not what happens, but you know, I just can't help but wonder. Also, I see in this one shot in the trailer, MF Doom next to Master of Puppets, which is nice placement. Whoever thought of that, thank you. Also, yes, I do see Jay Dilla in the back. Whoever put that together, you have good taste. I wish more record stores looked like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, there's some good stuff going on here. Oh, wait, I'm looking at, I think I see the screenshot. I also see the Batman soundtrack.
Yep, that might just be Batdance, but you never know, it could be either way, but I think we'll see this movie sooner rather than later on some platform.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's going to premiere at Tribeca, yeah. So not that long from now.
Yeah, and I know it's going to distribute because I know that excuse me to Kevin Smith, he is one of the producers of it, so I kind of get that.
Yeah, you said that explains a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always down to give anything a fair shake.
Yeah.
Anyway, now let's move on to the next topic here, which combines two of our favorite things in the world. Making fun of emo music and convenience store food. It's a very odd intersection, but trust me, it's a very vibrant niche. So, yeah, I don't know if you all know about this thing called When We Were Young. Maybe you heard of it. Especially just the super nostalgic version of Vans Warped Tour now.
Yeah.
But apparently they have some, you know, assistance and sponsorships courtesy of none other than 7-Eleven. Apparently they're full on like sponsoring the festival, I think, at least according to this Chris DeVille piece at Stereo Gum. The festival grounds will have a 7-Eleven hangout space. One of the stages will be called the 7-Eleven stage. And yeah, it's taking place October 18th and 19th. Panic at the Disco, Blink-182 are your headliners. And they're, of course, trying to roll out the promo as, you know, they got to get that cross-promotion as hard as they can. And this includes, apparently, having a Green Day-branded Slurpee drink.
Oh. I mean, I just hope it's better than the Green Day-branded coffee they tried to sell, because I tried it, and no, absolutely not. Never again. Disgusting.
Oh, God. Coffee. It was that bad, huh?
Okay.
I'm a very simple man. Give me Krispy Kreme or Tim Hortons.
You know, I'm very tempted because, like... Actually, I'll probably bring this up later, but... Anyway, the flavor... God, this is actually produced in conjunction with their coffee company. Oh, God!
Oh.
Please just... Know how to do it properly. Good lord.
That coffee slushy. Yeah,
so the flavor is called Kerplunk Candy Grape.
Kerplunk Candy Grape.
Yeah, and as the article sarcastically points out, anytime you can name a sweet treat after an album title referencing poop splashing in the toilet, you gotta do it.
Oh, okay.
Is that why it's called Kerplunk? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a kerplop. That would sound disgusting.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is actually fully rolled out now.
I can tell you it's not. It'll probably be more rolled out by, like, the fall. But I do have to comment on what a rep from 7-Eleven said. Quote, they're eager to recreate the fun and excitement that comes with visiting a 7-Eleven store. By putting some quote unquote 7-Eleven Slurpee Street things at the Governor's Ball and Rolling Loud, which I have to say, going to 7-Eleven is not fun. It's what you do when you gotta fill up and you wanna go inside because you think, you know what? I want a Slurpee and maybe a slice of pizza before we head back out on the road. Only because there is not a Buc-ee's anywhere near here.
You know, I'm going to say something that I think is going to sound like a bit of a conspiracy theory, but I don't believe anybody actually fills up on gas at 7-Eleven. I'm convinced that's just a psyop or something. Like, I don't know, that's just me, but the idea of actually, to me, 7-Eleven is a convenience store first, gas station third. And here's the thing, you absolutely can have fun going to a 7-Eleven, if it's a Japanese one. Because as we all know, over on the eastern side of the pond, they fucking know how to go extra with their convenience stores.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. They've said they're trying to integrate more of that style of store over here, but so far, nothing. Not a damn thing. It's just... overpriced racks of stuff in a Slurpee station. That's all it is. Like, come on, guys. Pick up the pace. This is why you're losing to Buc-ee's.
Even though, like, I never been to Buc-ee's. Like, I know enough feminine been there. This is expensive as fuck, but yeah, but I heard good things. I heard a lot of good things, like bathrooms.
I think it's because people only go there like once or twice a year when they're traveling. And you know you're going to spend a lot of money there anyway because you got to get all the merchandise and all the extra crap that you're going to forget about. Which, fair shake. But also they pay their employees very well and they got to make that money back somehow. Which, again, fair shake. Yeah.
What Alex says is the truth. Like, I've only been once in my life, and that's precisely because I was on a long car trip. Because not exactly I could just, like, get in the car, spend 20 minutes driving, and boom, Buc-ee's. But I could say, one, they have pretty good brisket. And second, it looks, to borrow a quote from a random sketch I saw on the internet, it looks like a Walmart on house arrest. Anyway, enough about all that, so, let's move on to the, final topic here. So, y'all remember last year when they brought back the Summer Slaughter Tour under very, very dubious circumstances, by which I mean, you know, the owner being fucking stupid?
Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it?
Ash Avildsen is an absolute bastard. And I guess he must know that on some level because, looks like he's handed control of it over to someone else. In this case being, Jamie Josta, the vocalist of Hatebreed. And, as a result, the headlines, you know, the acts that are booked this year definitely have a bit more of an edge to them than whatever the fuck was going on last year. So, you know, the tickets are obviously on sale, right now. The acts that are booked this year to play include the likes of course, Hatebreed, and various openers such as Bleeding Through, Fugitive, Gridiron, Malevolence, In Sight, Snuffed on Sight, and the totally not currently controversial Escuela Grind.
Okay, I got a feeling that. Should I know what terrible thing they did, or somebody from the
TLDR?
Of course.
We'll talk about it later, like off record. So just a quote from Josta himself: "A new era of Summer Slaughter has begun. Huge thanks to Ash and the Sumerian team for their belief and support. Myself and Sound Talent Group are excited to be working with them going forward and taking the tour worldwide. It's been years since Hatebreed has done a summer tour in the US, and Summer Slaughter is the perfect run for us. The tour has always catapulted the newest and brightest talent to new heights. We'll be continuing in that tradition while expanding in size and scope. Let the slaughter begin again." And then, of course, some bullshit PR spin from Ash, who's definitely trying to act like he didn't go on a fucking crash-out bender about, you know, vaccinations on fucking Instagram. Oh, that's totally a normal thing to do. But, yeah, as you'll see, if you're looking at the actual lineup given here, at least according to the Metal Injection piece, they do kind of have it, you know, divvied up based on a specific run, so... From July 8th to the 17th, you'll have Fugitive, Malevolence, Gridiron, Escuela Grind, and Insight. From the 19th to the 23rd, Fugitive, Malevolence, Gridiron, Snuffed on Sight, and Insight. And then, you know, from the 25th to the 28th, Bleeding Through, Malevolence, Gridiron, Snuffed on Sight, and Insight. So, yeah, there's like a few shuffling positions, it looks like. I mean, you all have fun with that. I only went to Summer Slaughter once in, like, high school. I had my fun, but I'm not sure I want to go to now.
He's old now!
I had my fun. Ugh. But, yeah, that'll about do it for all the news and stuff. Now it just leaves one last thing to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for the week of May 9th. 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from the band Ghost Bath with Rose Thorn Necklace. From rapper Billy Woods, we have his newest album Gollywog. From Lil Sims, we got a new project called Lotus. If you're into Blake Shelton still, for some reason, We have the new album for recreational use only. From Kali Uchis, we have her new album, Sincerely. And last but certainly not least, the much anticipated new album from Sleep Token with Even in Arcadia. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, as usual. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, the Blue Place, and yeah, if you listen to the episode, you probably got it from there. So enjoy it, fuckers.
Mark, what about you?
As usual, my hyperone.com, where both get some stuff coming out soon. I've been working on it, and of course, you can follow me on Blue Sky, where I do a weekly my weekly thoughts on this episode of Lazarus, which, okay, they know what SoundCloud is, and they didn't play no random, they didn't do a deep dive into SoundCloud rap. I wonder what that would have been like.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@superresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Super Resolution. Visit the website, superresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into the Discord chat as well so you can talk about all kinds of stuff and be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. So, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And we have the album roundup for May 2025 coming sometime this week. April 2025, my bad. So, yeah, thank you for listening. And until then, get fucked, Kanye.
Always.
Yeah.